Beginning in Daniel chapter 3, Daniel prays one of the most beautiful prayers we're going to find in Scripture. He realizes this time is up, and it just looks like it's not going to happen. And Daniel prays a prayer to the Lord about his people and about their sins. He knows why they're in captivity. He ends that prayer in Daniel 9 and verse 19. This is really the gist of the prayer right at the end, where it says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. You ever heard someone pray like that? They just like that. And, O Lord, da, 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 and, O Lord, da, da. I've heard that. Well, Daniel did that. Okay? O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. That's, don't put this time off. The 70 years is about here. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people that are called by thy name. That's the gist of Daniel's prayer. Now let's go to verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, that'd be Jerusalem, the holy mountain of my God, he says, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me out of the time of the evening oblation and informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I'm now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. As Daniel begins his prayer, God tells Gabriel, go tell Daniel. God knows what Daniel's going to pray. Go tell Daniel what I'm going to do. And so the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel. It's at the beginning of thy supplications. See that in verse 23? At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And now I'm come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Isn't that beautiful? For an angel of God to come from the throne of heaven to you and says, look, God wants me to tell you, you are greatly beloved. Wonder if we'll hear those words when those angels come for us as we're passing this life and the angels are there to carry us away. Well, they say, you are greatly beloved. Wouldn't that be beautiful? So thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, I'm going to confuse you, and then I'm going to get you cleared up, okay? All right, get ready to be confused here. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. This is important enough. I've decided to do this. 70 weeks. I've kind of laid it out here. 6 things are going to happen in these 70 weeks. First, finish the transgression, make an end of sins, and make reconciliation for iniquity. Transgression, sins, and iniquity. Look, Jerusalem has sinned, but in 70 weeks, this is going to be passed. We're going to get past all this. But then some things are going to begin. These are the things that are going to end, but then some things are going to begin. We're going to bring in everlasting righteousness. Seal up the vision and the prophecy. You see, Daniel's told to seal these things. What he's really talking about, this is when those sealed things will be opened up. And then anoint the most holy. Now you can probably think, what could that mean? You know, anoint means Christ. 70 weeks until these things are going to happen. Let me show you. Know therefore and understand. Okay, get ready to get confused. Ready? Okay. Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Okay. We've got 70 weeks, 70 weeks, 62. and 62 weeks. Okay, I'm going to put all this together in just a minute. It's hard to keep all these weeks straight, isn't it? But what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be a command to go restore Jerusalem. And then there's going to be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That'd be 69 weeks. And then in 69 weeks, the Messiah, the Prince, will come. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the street will be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, now that's the 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. Okay, so after 69 weeks, he's going to be cut off. Think of the crucifixion. Okay, and I'm going to show you this a little clearly in just a minute. Think of the crucifixion. But not for himself. And the prince of the people shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war, desolations are determined. That sounds like the destruction of Jerusalem, doesn't it? Okay, let's see if we can put all this together now. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay, you've got 69 weeks. That's the 70 and the 62. 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks. And then 1 week. There's your 70 weeks. Okay? There's your 70 weeks. It'll be clear in just a minute. Okay? In the midst of the week, that's in the middle of that last week. In the middle of the last week. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, for the overspreading of abomination shall he make it desolate, even the consummation that determined, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Well, what are we talking about? Here we go. These are not a weeks of days. These are weeks of years. So 1 week of years is 70, is 7 years. 1 week of years is 7 years. So 70 weeks, 70 times 7, 490 years is what we're talking about. Now, 7 weeks, that'd be 49 years. 62 weeks, 434 years. 1 week, 7 years, and then in the midst of the week, somewhere in the middle of that last week, those last 7 years. So the 7 and the 62, that's 69 weeks. Okay? That's why I got those in yellow. I just added those together and put them at the bottom. We're talking about 483 years. I'm going to show you something that to me, it almost sends chills down my back. It's so remarkable what we're about to see. There were actually 4 decrees to return to Jerusalem. The first one in 538 BC under Cyrus. You read about it in Ezra 1, verses 1 through 4. Zerubbabel, you go back and rebuild the temple. The second one is under Darius the First. You read about it in Ezra chapter 6, verses 8 through 12, and that's where he says, Ezra, you go back. Darius said, Ezra, you go back to Jerusalem, and you help those people get straight. They're not doing right. They're not following their God right. You need to go reform the people. But then Darius dies, and the next king, Artaxerxes, in Ezra 7, Ezra goes back. You can see the king's dead. So he goes back. And the next king, Artaxerxes, says, Ezra, you go back again. And you tell them, finish that temple. They're not getting that done. You tell, I'm going to give you what you need to finish it. So in 457 BC, you read about this one in Ezra 7, 11 through 28. In 457 BC, Ezra returns. So Ezra actually went back twice. And then Artaxerxes in 444 BC sent Nehemiah back to rebuild the walls of the city. So there were 4 decrees. Now from the decree until the coming of the Messiah, these 70, which one do we start with? If you pick this third one, when Artaxerxes sends Ezra back the second time, Ezra chapter 7, 11, 457 B.C., something remarkable takes place. Artaxerxes gives the decree, 457 B.C. All right, let's go 7 weeks. 49 years later, it's the end of that restoration generation. This is right, and I don't get an exact time, but right here, it's coming right about 408 B.C. We're right at the end of the Old Testament. Right at the end of Malachi. Now this may not be the exact year, but it's right in that time. That generation that had come and restored Jerusalem, they're old now and it's being turned over to the next generation. And this begins the period between the Testament, that 400 year period. Right here about this time. 62 more weeks. 434 years. And we arrive at 26 A.D. Now I want you to remember A.D. 1, there's no A.D. 0. There's A.D. 1. A.D. 1 was thought to be the year that Christ was born. Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, the year of our Lord's birth. But they missed that. Because when they got studying the records, they found out Herod died about B.C. 4. It couldn't have been A.D. 1. So they've corrected that up. And so there's a little gap here in this A.D. B.C. You know, we always say the church established on the day of Pentecost, A.D. 33. Remember that? A.D. 33. I've seen it on churches, you know. Your cornerstone established A.D. 33. Well, that's using the old way of counting it. It would be A.D. 33. A.D. 29 is probably the more accurate date because of that mistake they made in that calendar in figuring out when A.D. 1 was. Okay? And so in A.D. 26, it says the Messiah, the Prince, would come. And that would be the year that Jesus is baptized and begins his public ministry in the midst of the week. In the midst of the week. In about 3 years, Jesus would be crucified. Three and a half years. That falls exactly on A.D. 29. I mean, that just sends chills down my back. That's when Daniel said it would happen. Count the years. And it falls exactly on that year that Daniel's talking about. Jesus is crucified and the church is established. That was in the middle of that week when those things happen. Okay, what about the end of the week? This is where the commentators go all over the place. What happened at the end of the week? Well, now, as I look at it, this is where I've come up with, and some of them agree with me and some of them don't on this, but as I look at it, the end of the week, the end of the 490 years occurs when the gospel leaves Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. There's a great persecution brought against the church, and they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Isn't that what God said would happen? The word would go forth from Jerusalem. And it was first preached in Jerusalem. And this falls right into that period. And I'm not going to say exact anymore, but it's right into that time. It would be the end of that 490 years. And that is when God had accomplished what he wanted to accomplish with Jerusalem. He wanted to establish the church there and get it started, and then let the word go forth from that city. And so God's done what he's going to do with Jerusalem at that time. And that fits Daniel's prophecy. But Daniel also talks about the destruction of Jerusalem. Remember when I pointed that out? It sounds like the destruction of Jerusalem. And This occurs after the 70 weeks. Now, some try to extend that 70 weeks all the way over to the destruction of Jerusalem and turn those last 3.5 weeks into 3.5 decades, which would be close, about 35 years. 37 years later, Jerusalem is destroyed in A.D. 70. So some would try to extend it there. As I look at it and read it, I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to try to do that. I'm going to understand what Daniel's saying is that it's after the 490 years Jerusalem would be destroyed, and it was within a generation after, 37 years after, is to be exact, when it occurred. So, to me, that's amazing. There are people that say, oh, Daniel, that Daniel must have been written sometime between the Testaments. He knew too much about the Greeks and what they were going to do and about he must have written this. Somebody wrote this for Daniel between the Testaments. But what did they do in the 70 weeks? Daniel was obviously written before this church was established, before the crucifixion. That's in the book too. It's prophecy. One of the things that God does, and he begins with Joseph back in Egypt. God shows Pharaoh through Joseph that he is the true God because he knows what's about to happen. And you see this through the Bible, and I've been seeing it over and over again in Isaiah. These idols, they can't tell you anything. They don't know what's going to happen. And those magicians and those priests, they can't tell you what happened, but I can tell you from the beginning to the end. I'm the Alpha and Omega, and I know everything that's happened and everything is going to happen, and I can tell you what's going to happen. And here in Daniel, God tells us what's going to happen. And it gets right down to the year it happened. And if they had been able to understand Daniel 9 and know what decree to start with, and he kept up with their year, they would have known. This is happening just like God said at the very time that he said it would happen. Now, any questions about that? Because I'm going to end class a little early tonight. I'm through with the story here.
Can you go over this whole thing again?
Well, there it is. There it is. This is my understanding of the 70 weeks. Now, you'll read commentaries that have it a little different. And some of them make sense when you read them. The more I've studied it, and they do kind of come to a consensus on this, but it's not always just real obvious. So it's a difficult for everyone to agree. But this, and I'm going to say this with humility. I'm not dogmatic here, but I think this is clear, and this is pretty simple, and it sure does fit. It sure does fit. So without being dogmatic, I've got a lot of confidence myself that this is how to explain the 70 weeks. Here's where we've been. The yellow is the period of time between the Testaments. But to understand that, we've got to start before between the Testaments and talk about Jerusalem being destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. It's about 606 B.C. when Jerusalem is destroyed. And then we talked about how Babylon fell to the Persians. And we talked about all those Persian kings. Remember how they kept wanting to conquer the Greeks and they couldn't do it. And Darius tried and he failed. And then Ahasuerus or Xerxes, he tried. And we talked about Marathon and the different battles they had. And then after that, we come into the late Persian era. And this is where we're really beginning the time between the Testaments now. This is after that Jerusalem is destroyed, Malachi has been written, the Persians have failed to conquer the Greeks, and for a while there's a period where Jerusalem is under the reign of the Persians, but then Alexander the Great comes up, the era of Alexander. And in just a few years, this young man conquers the world. And now Greek culture is spread all the way from Macedonia into India. And that was what he thought he would do, spread this Greek culture and establish these Greek cities so everyone could learn to think and live and breathe and be like Greeks. And then when Alexander died, he was divided into four kingdoms, that area. And we focus particularly on the Egyptians under the Ptolemies and the Syrians under Antiochus and who was the other one? Antiochus and I can't think of the name. But the Assyrian king. And then that period, the kings of the north and things like that, they kept fighting with one another over who's going to control Palestine, the land of Canaan in Jerusalem. And so for a while, the Egyptians had it. That's when the city of Alexandria thrived and prospered. And the Jews moved to Alexandria. But in time, the Syrians took over Jerusalem. And we read about Antiochus IV Epiphanes that tried to wipe out Judaism. And in response to that, we come to the era of the Maccabees. Judas of Maccabee. And then his brothers and the descendants. And we talked about that period of the Maccabees that brings us up to the time of Herod. And how that the Maccabee brothers weren't getting along and they asked Pompey to settle it. And Pompey comes in and he takes Palestine for Rome. And so we got the early Roman era, and that's where we talked about, you know, Pompey and Julius and Cleopatra and the end of the Republic and Brutus and Mark Antony and then Octavius, who becomes Caesar Augustus. And that gets us into the New Testament period. It's in the days of Caesar Augustus. And we went back and told the story of Herod and how through this time, Herod, married into that Maccabee family, had managed his way to become king of all this territory. And then he dies right after Jesus is born. That brings us then to the New Testament period. So we have the life and death of Jesus and the establishment of the church. And how it spreads throughout the Roman Empire in this land that had been prepared. You know how God said, I will overturn it. Like getting the field ready, plowing it, and double plowing it, and triple plowing it. Getting it ready for the seed. Now the seed is spread, and then Jerusalem is destroyed just at the end of the New Testament period in AD 70. So we're talking about the time that it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And at the time it was destroyed again by Titus, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. And so that's the period that we've covered and see the significance. Now, as I said at the beginning, you may not remember this, but this 400 years is sometimes called 400 years of silence. Because they did not hear the voice of a prophet during those 400 years. But as the writers of the Bible closed with Malachi, and Malachi lays down the pen, secular historians picked it up, and the secular histories flourished during this 400-year time. There was a little secular history before, but nothing like what exploded during that 400-year period. So we've got a lot of secular history to look at during that period. And then the New Testament comes along. Kevin Key is going to talk to us about some of the literature that was significant that developed in that period between the Testament. He'll include the Septuagint, the translation of the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek, which is one of the amazing things. But then the Apocrypha, you've heard about in other books that are significant to help understand New Testament times. And then Tony Lawrence will show us the cultural developments that occurred to this time. And that ought to be real interesting because these things are going to show up in the New Testament. These cultural things that develop between the, they show up and it'll explain where did that come from? Well, now we'll know. And we can bridge that time between the Old and New Testament. So that's where we'll go. This is where I'm going to bring the class to a conclusion, unless there's something to discuss out of this. I wish I could write it all up. I might go back and see if I can write a summary of all this for you all, but I'm going to have to see if I got time. I got all the slides, but the first one, and I remember that one. That's the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream with the head of gold and the breath. I can put that one together pretty easy. And then maybe you're able to just write a little summary on what has been going on here. I know you'd like to have that, and I'd like to write it up, but I'll have to see if I can do that. I might be able to do it before our class is over anyway. Yes.
Can you bring that slide back up where you have those six things of the 70 weeks?
Yes. It's Daniel 9:24. If you'll write Daniel 9:24, that's what this is. I just kind of...
Yeah, but I've almost got them written down.
Okay, all right. That's good. That's good. Tell me when you finish writing. I'll show you Daniel 9:24 and you'll see how close this... It's almost reading Daniel 9:24 to read this. I just thought outlining it that way helped bring Daniel 9:24.
As you said, amazing that Christ, the fulfillment of the gospel, the crucifixion, brought all that...
That's right.
Brought all that to the head. Okay.
It looks to me like it's three things have ended... Three things are going to begin.
Thank you.
All right. Here's Daniel 9:24. 24. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall, and then here's those six things. Cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. No, wait a minute. That's not it.
27.
Where'd I go to 24?
Before it, probably.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go back.
There. 70 weeks are determined on thy people and upon the holy city, and there's the six things. Finish the transgression. Say finish in reconciliation for iniquity. You got transgression, sins, and iniquity here. Jerusalem, your warfare is accomplished. It's time to comfort ye, my people. That's what Isaiah described it. And so he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. This is the gospel. To seal up the vision and the prophecy. It's what had been sealed that's going to be opened up is what I think that's referring to. And then to anoint the Most Holy, that's Christ, the coming of the Messiah, the Most Holy. He'll be the Christ. And so three things coming to an end, three things that are going to begin at the end of that 490-year period. Isn't that fascinating? It is to me. It is to me. Anything else? All right. I'm going to say a prayer for our food, and we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we're thankful for all thy blessings. We're thankful for thy amazing and wonderful word and the things that are written therein that gives us so much confidence that we know this had to have come from thee. We pray that we'll take these things and let it build our faith and help us appreciate the things that we read as we study thy word. And now we're thankful for the enjoyment we have with one another and the food that we're about to eat. In Jesus' name, amen.